Let's keep that in mind as we seek from God's Word to tell out the good news of salvation. May I have the liberty of opening our gospel meeting tonight with the same hymn that we opened with last night. Number 10, there is a Savior on high in the glory, a Savior who suffered on Calvary's tree, a Savior as willing to save now as ever. His arm is almighty, His love great and free. That dear loving Savior, those hours of darkness He suffered for sinners on Calvary's cross, forsaken, alone. The Son of God became a man to suffer on the cross. What was it made Him suffer those hours of darkness? His love for sinners. As we sing this song, may our hearts consider the love of that Savior. There is a Savior. Message of Thy love for sinners. We pray, O God, that Thy Spirit might be free to work in each heart here this evening. Those who are yet lost in their sins, to turn them to the Savior. Those of us who know and love thy blessed Son as our Savior, that we might have our hearts warmed afresh at the hearing of thy love. Thy love, Lord Jesus, which led thee to suffer in those hours of darkness. Now we ask, our God, for thy blessing on the meeting. We commend it to thy hands in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to start with a verse in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Guilty before God. Guilty of sin. Guilty of sin for which God has declared the penalty of death. Often, I have in the audience those who have murdered, those who have raped, those who have been raped, those addicted to drugs, caught up in gang activities, and some of them just not wanted. As I look around the room here this evening, perhaps there are none that would put themselves in any of those categories. But I'd like to read some verses from God's Word to give us cause to pause and consider those words, guilty before God. We read in Galatians chapter 5 about the works of the flesh that are manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Ever been angry with someone? The works of the flesh, sin. Ever gone out to have a good time? The works of the flesh, sin. What some people might regard as clean sins, but the works of the flesh nonetheless. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. Speaking about God's heavenly city. Verse 27. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. These are those that will enter God's presence. to be forever with the Lord in heavenly bliss. Verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God speaks of two deaths. The sense of death is separation, physical death, separation of the spirit and soul from the body, a temporary condition, because both the saved and the lost, God is going to reunite after physical death the spirit and soul with the body. But he also speaks of a spiritual death. That spiritual death is separation of spirit, soul, and body forever from the presence of God. This is the second death in the lake of fire, which burns, the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Who is it that are there? We read in the previous chapter that those that are put there are those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you fit somehow in this eighth verse? Fearful? Fearful of coming before God? And so you stay away? Fearful perhaps of what others will say? And so you stay away? God says these will have their place in the lake of fire. Unbelieving. Doesn't sound so bad in today's society, does it? But God says the unbelieving will have their part in the lake of fire. Tonight, is there one in this room who is despising the long-suffering of God, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Unbelieving. Unbelieving in the goodness of God. All the world may become guilty before God. My friend, tonight, you are either declared guilty or righteous by God. In Ecclesiastes, God tells us, he says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Anyone here tonight that has before them the things that are seen? We were talking this afternoon about the things that are seen being temporal, the things that are not seen eternal. Anyone here tonight that has their heart set on things that delight their eyes? things that delight their heart, temporal things. God says, if that's what you want, He says, you can have it. But He says, know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. All the world guilty before God. Does God still have you in that category? Does He see you tonight as guilty, owing a penalty for your sin that you can never pay? A few days ago, I was talking to a young woman in solitary because of what she had done. She was quite unaffected by the message of the gospel. She said she had been raised in a Catholic home, had gone through catechism school. She said, now I'm not so sure there's anything to that. Yet she had things she wanted to do. There are things that she liked to do, things that she intended to do, regardless of consequences. Things that she would do at any cost to satisfy her desires. I said to her, Margaret, consider this. You have these desires which you want to satisfy, regardless of the consequences. Think about having those desires and never, ever again having them realized, having them met, fulfilled. Souls in hell will have the same desires they've had all their life. Desires of sin, of lust, to satisfy at any consequence. But no chance of ever having them fulfilled. She looked at me, her response, you're being mean. I said, Margaret, that's what God says. This young woman, hardened against God, hardened against the gospel, having only the desire to fulfill her lust. 12 years old. Anyone here 12 years old? Hardened to the gospel. But know this, that for all these things, God will bring me into judgment. It's a dark picture. God says your sins have separated between you and your God. Remember, separation from God is eternal death. Eternity in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Tonight, you are in God's sight, either guilty or righteous. Consider in your own heart God's words. Again, turning to Romans chapter 3. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Perhaps you're not one who will satisfy your lusts at any cost. But this is God's view of humanity today going on in sin. None righteous, none that doeth good, no, not one. All the world become guilty before God. The Lord Jesus told the story of a rich man, one whose fields had yielded bountifully, didn't know where to put his goods. But his eyes were on things that are seen. His eyes were on material things, those things which he had. He called his. He says, "Where shall I bestow my goods?" Anyone tonight seeking after the riches of this world? Is that the goal of your heart? God says, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be?" He says, "Such are those that lay up treasure for themselves and are not rich toward God." These are very plain words that God uses. He speaks of hell. He speaks of judgment. He speaks of sin and its consequences. Where do you stand tonight? All the world guilty before God. That wasn't what God intended. God says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you perish, you are perishing because you have rebelled against the will of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent his Son into the world that the world through him might be saved. Last night our brother referred to Isaiah chapter 52, where it was prophesied that the Son of God would go through these sufferings, where his face would be so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. We wonder at what God would allow his Son to go through. Yet God says in that same prophecy, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." My servant shall deal prudently. A wise transaction completed by the servant of God, his own son. God says in Job about the sinner, he says, "Keep his soul from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom." God requires death as the penalty for sin. I must pay the penalty for my sin, or someone must pay it for me. God, in his wisdom, in his love for sinners, provided a way that he could be justified, that he could be righteous and yet call the sinner righteous. Those hours of darkness, he suffered for sinners. On Calvary's tree, all forsaken, alone. The Son of God became man so that he could die on the cross. As God, he could never sin. He walked this earth for some 33 years. Never a sin. When he died on the cross, it wasn't for sins, for his sins that he died. Because God says he made him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently." What a transaction brought about by the wisdom and love of God. A substitute for guilty sinners such as you and I. Think of the words of the psalmist, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, thy cataracts. All God's waves and billows have gone over me." In those 3 hours of darkness, infinity, in that transaction with infinity, dealt with my sins and God's just judgment that I deserved as a sinner. Infinity, dealing with infinity concerning God's cataracts of judgment. Think about it tonight, dear friend. God the Father, God the Son, dealing with your sin. Dealing with your sin and mine. Those 3 hours of darkness on the cross. He who knew no sin made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus, the Son of God, there on the cross. After suffering those 3 hours of darkness because of your sin and mine, that he might be our substitute, gave up his life. He said, I have power to give it up. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He gave up his life. A soldier with a spear in hatred and rebellion against God thrust that spear into his side. And the blood that washes away every sin from those who trust him flowed forth. Three days later, early in the morning, it's as though God couldn't wait to raise his Son, who had so glorified him in that prudent transaction. That great transaction of infinite value. God raised him from the dead bodily. He had power to take his life again, so he took it again. And we read also that he was raised in the power of the Spirit. The Trinity, the three persons of the Godhead, focused on the resurrection of the servant of God who dealt prudently, who so satisfied God with regard to the question of sin. That's that big word, propitiation. Satisfaction. God is satisfied with the price that the Lord Jesus paid on the cross. Now God says to sinners, you can't, by your own righteousness, by your own works, be righteous in my presence. But he says now, I have a righteousness to give you as a free gift. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he says it's offered to all. But those who enjoy that gift are those that receive it. Have you received God's gift? Have you made it yours? God says, you're justified, declared righteous, as the free gift of his grace, because the penalty was paid, the redemption price paid by Christ Jesus. Now God says he is justified, he is righteous in declaring me righteous through faith in Christ Jesus. Now this soul that was guilty before God, with a penalty to pay, either my death or the death of a substitute, is paid by that substitute provided by God himself. But friend, tonight, if you don't recognize yourself as guilty before God, guilty of an eternity in hell, you'll have no appreciation for that gift. Is there anyone in the room tonight that would despise the goodness of God, the mercy of God? Now that same righteousness of God that required eternal death as the penalty for my sin, that same righteousness now says, I am righteous. I am righteous because the penalty of my sin was paid. They're all washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. God has given me a new life. One that can never sin. One that can never die. And through Christ Jesus, my Savior, God looks at me in that new life and says, Morris Maurer is righteous. Can you put your name in that statement? God in righteousness declaring the sinner righteous. Because of that wise transaction, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. Perhaps the room tonight can be divided into two groups. Those who have received God's gift and those who have not. We're all sinners. God says so. But many in this room, as I look in the faces before me, I know can say, God has justified me through faith in Christ Jesus. But can each one of you say that tonight for yourself? Righteousness on the basis of faith in Christ Jesus. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. God raised his Son from the dead. God received the Lord Jesus Christ back to heaven, this time with a body of a man. There is a man now in the presence of God, not only in the presence of God, but now at the right hand of God, exalted, extolled, very high. He's seated in the highest place that God could put him, expressing God's own satisfaction and delight in that prudent transaction that was fulfilled by his own Son. A man in the glory. The assurance that as long as he is there at God's right hand, the sinner through faith in him will be there also. Is that what you have to look forward to tonight? An eternity with the one who so loved you? Or do you despise the goodness of God, which leads you to repentance? Those that are whole need not a physician, but those that are sick. The Savior tonight is being presented to sinners, to those who know their need, to know those who know they are guilty before God. Are you there tonight? God is going to be glorified, fully glorified, by the death of His Son. God says in speaking forth the gospel, we are a sweet savor unto God. To them that are saved and to them that are lost. To the one, the savor of death unto death. To the other, the savor of life unto life. And only God understands that. It's the work of God that makes the difference. The Spirit of God working in your heart tonight, if you're yet unbelieving. But God is going to be glorified. What if God, willing to show His power, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? What fitted those vessels of wrath for destruction? Sin. God is still in long suffering, waiting for sinners to come to Him. God waiteth in patience for sinners to trust Him. Is He waiting for you tonight? God's going to be glorified with regard to you, dear friend, either a savor of life unto life or death unto death. Before God this evening, will you be assured that it will be a savor of life unto life? As you sit there tonight, look down. How many knees do you see? God says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Those knees will bow. Will they bow tonight in worship to the Savior, the one who so loved you, the one who gave Himself for you, the one who, in obedience to His Father, was willing to come to earth to die as your substitute? Will you bow before Him tonight? Or are you going to wait till that day of judgment, when with the heaven and earth fled away, the great white throne, white absolute holiness, with the Lord Jesus, the one that God has ordained to judge the world in righteousness. Sitting on that throne, are you willing to stand before Him without your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and be judged for the deeds of your life? Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Those knees will bow. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." God raised Him from the dead. God received Him back into glory. There seated at God's right hand, the one who waits to be your Savior tonight. He waiteth in patience for sinners to trust Him, and says, "I receive thee now just as thou art. Salvation and pardon I heartily offer to all who receive me by faith in their heart." Will you tonight glorify God through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior, as the one who paid your penalty in your place? Let's close by singing number 36. Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not thine heart. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? Number 36. Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the Thank you. thank thee for the gospel, the good news of salvation, thy blessed Son, and his work on the cross as our substitute. We thank thee for thy love, our God. And we pray that if there are any in this room who have not yet put their trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that they might do so tonight before it is forever too late. Perhaps this could be the last gospel meeting. We pray that thou wilt solemnize each heart as to the need of sinners. So we ask for thy blessing. We ask thy care over us now through the night. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
I don't know about you, I was a little rusty on number 36. I mean, there's a little work on that. Just got a couple things, if you bear with me just for a few minutes. First of all, they'd pass all the hymn sheets to our right. Someone will collect those. The next meeting will be tomorrow morning at 10:30. Prayer for the meetings will begin at 9:15. There will be a young people sing tonight at the meeting room at Mayfield. That will start at 8:30. Sunday school papers, again, are at the back entrance on the podium. And a couple of things that are related to the meetings. If anyone here that's staying at either one of the motels, the Days Inn or the Super 8, if you would like to stay over again, the discounted rate will be available for you. And just the last thing, I guess, the custodians have asked us tonight to try to be gone in a timely manner where they can take care of things here in the room, possibly 8:30 to 8:40. Thank you very much.